You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for November 1990. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. Let's step right over the front page of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club. Well, it seems the holidays are just around the corner. A couple days from now, we'll have Halloween, where everyone gets to put on their Mike Knitter masks and scare the heck out of all the DXers. Then we have Thanksgiving in about 30 days. And Phil Wayne would like to remind everyone to eat ham this Thanksgiving and save some of his relatives. And then in about 60 days, the Christmas and New Year's holidays. I'd like to remind all of you here at the DX Audio Service that our next edition will be the December 1990 edition of the DX Audio Service. So if you'd like to, get on the action line and wish some of your friends here on the DX Audio Service happy holidays or whatever, be sure to give us a call and we'll pass that along to all of the DX Audio Service members. We're making some changes here at the DX Audio Service. Hopefully in the next 30 to 60 days we'll be in new quarters and a little more high tech to provide you the DX Audio Service at all times with the best in DX. And speaking of the best in DX, we have a special guest here at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Tracy Maxwell from WLIO Television is in to tell us all about what is happening with the CPC program. I'd like to remind you that if you have some suggestions of stations you'd like to hear test on the CPC program, just drop a card or a letter to Wayne Heinen at 4131 South Andes Way, Aurora, Colorado, 80013, or send him email at the Fidonet number of 1:104-108. And if you have some 25-cent stamps laying around, I'm sure Wayne can use the postage to contact some of the radio stations. Now let's take a look at our CPC report. Here's Tracy Maxwell, and hello, Tracy.
Yeah, how you doing today, Fred?
Real good.
It's good. Well, here's your latest update from the Colorado CPC machine of the National Radio Club. WITZ on 940 kilohertz, P.O. Box 167, Jasper, Indiana, zip code 47546, will present a special DX test on Sunday, November 4th, 1990, from 0530 to 0600 Eastern Standard Time. The test will consist of tones, music, voice, and Morse codes ID. Our thanks to Mr. Gary Lee for conducting this test for the National Radio Club. KVOX on 1280 kHz, P.O. Box 97, Moorhead, Minnesota, zip code 56561, will present a unique DX test on November 4th, 1990, from 0600 to 0630 Eastern Local Time. A special announcement for the National Radio Club will be aired during this time period. This announcement will contain a Morse code ID. This will be mixed with KVOX normal music programming. KVOX will be using its nighttime facility. Our thanks to Mr. Bob Holton, General Manager, for this fine opportunity. KLEY at 1130 on the AM dial. KLEY Drive, Wellington, Kansas, zip code 67152, will present a special DX test on Sunday morning, November 4th, 1990, from 0630 to 0700 Eastern Standard Time. This test will consist of test tones, march music voice, and Morse code IDs. Our thanks to Mr. Vernon Napier, Chief Operator, for this test. WSYB 1380 kHz, P.O. Box 249, Rutland, Vermont, zip code 05701, will conduct a special DX test on November 11th, 1990, from 0530 to 0600 Eastern Standard Time. This test will consist of normal ATCON music program with interspersed voice and Morse code IDs. Our thanks to Mr. Tom Elmore for this test. WARU 1600 kHz, P.O. Box A, Peru, Indiana, zip code 46970, will conduct a DX test on November 12, 1990, from 0200 to 0230 Eastern Standard Time. This test will consist of voice IDs, code IDs, and march music. We would like to thank Chief Engineer Mr. James L. Swearingen for this test. KRXY, also on 1600 kHz, 7075 West Hamden Avenue, Denver, Colorado, zip code 80227, will conduct a special DX test on November 12, 1990 from 0230 to 0300 Eastern Standard Time using 5,000 watts of power, non-directional. The test will contain Morse code and voice IDs. KRXY will be silent for the preceding half an hour and will be conducting a routine maintenance. Our thanks to Gerard M. Westingberg, Chief Engineer. KORN 1490 kHz, 319 North Main, Mitchell, South Dakota, the zip code is 57301, will conduct a special DX test on Friday morning, November 16th, from 0500 to 0530 Eastern Standard Time. Test details will follow. Our thanks to Joseph R. Shields for this test. KLER 1300 kHz, P.O. Box 32, Orfino, Idaho, the zip code is 83544, will conduct a special DX test on Saturday morning, December 1st, 1990, beginning at 0650 Eastern Standard Time. Details of programming to follow. Our thanks to Jeff Jones, Station Manager. KOJM 610 kHz, P.O. Box 7000, Harve, Montana, the zip code 59501 will present a special DX test Monday morning, December 3rd, 1990, between 0200 and 0230 Eastern Standard Time. This test will contain Morse code IDs and other programming. Our thanks to Rob Yaw, Chief Engineer, for conducting this test. KUMA 1290 kHz, P.O. Box 340, Pendleton, Oregon, zip code 97801, will conduct a special DX test on Sunday morning, December 10th, 1990, beginning at 0305 Eastern Standard Time. This test will consist of a special public service announcement for the National Radio Club. There will be Morse code IDs contained with this announcement. This will air two or more times between 0305 and 0330. KUMA will be broadcasting NBC TalkNet at this time. Our thanks to Mr. Greg Smith, General Manager. KTIL 1590 kHz, P.O. Box 40, Tillamook, Oregon, the zip code is 97141, will conduct a special DX test on Sunday morning, December 16th, 1990, from 0300 to 0330 Eastern Standard Time. The test will consist of music and IDs. Our thanks to Vanmo President for this test.
And Tracy, we have two more CPC tests just in this morning on the computer, and they are WCOP 1350, Post Office Box 2127, Warner Robins, Georgia 31099-2127. And WCOP will conduct a special DX test on Sunday morning, November 11th, 1990, from 0430 to 0500. Our thanks go out to the general manager of WCOP 1350 for this test. And finally, KSTL 690 at 814 North 3rd Street in St. Louis, Missouri, 63102, will conduct a special DX test on Sunday morning, November 25th, 1990, beginning at 1:01 a.m. Eastern Local Time. Now, this test will be combined with KSTL's proof of performance testing and will contain tones, possibly music, and station IDs. And our thanks go out to Mr. Chris Davis, sales manager, for this fine opportunity to hear a test from KSTL. And again, a quick reminder, if you would like to help out the CPC machine, all they need are your suggestions and possibly a few 25-cent stamps to offset the postage costs. Send them to Wayne Heinen, 4131 South Andes Way, Aurora, Colorado, 80013. Or you can send him net mail on the FidoNet computer system at FidoNet1:104/108. And now let's turn it over to Jerry Starr with a look at the AM Switch column. Jerry?
Hi, everybody. This is Jerry Starr, another survivor of the National Radio Club's Pittsburgh Convention this year, and what a party that was, with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. We have two editions of AM Switch on this month's audio service tape, and we start with reference number 236 and call letter changes on 840 KIKN in Far Texas will be KVJY. On 1110, KHEI in Kihei, Hawaii changes to KAOI. 1120, WYGO, Gordon, Georgia becomes WBNM. 1310, WFAH, Alliance, Ohio becomes WDPN. On 1330, WDLZ in Flint, Michigan changes back to their former call of WTRX. This station, by the way, is presently off the air, but the change of call letters usually indicates the station is planning on returning. Otherwise, why would you worry about what call you had? On 1360, WWBZ in Vineland, New Jersey becomes WVSJ. On 1450, KCLD, McLeod, Minnesota changes to KNSI. We have two changes on 1490, KFBN, Laurel, Montana becomes KBSR. Also on 1490, WJNL, Johnstown, Pennsylvania changes to WKQS. And finally on 1530, KWWB in Creedmoor, Texas, another call change. They finally go back to their former call of KGTN. Applications for new stations, only one in this edition on 1260 Santa Fe, New Mexico. This is actually an application for someone who would like to build a new station to take over the silent facility of KVSF on 1260 in Santa Fe. Grants to existing facilities. One highlight of interest on 620 KIPA in Hilo, Hawaii is granted a power increase to 10,000 watts day and night. 620, of course, is what the FCC calls a regional frequency, and there has always been a power cap on regionals of 5,000 watts, except in special circumstances where a station may be experiencing Cuban interference. They have been allowed to increase power. Obviously, no Cuban interference in Hawaii, but KIPA in Hilo is getting a power increase anyway to 10,000 day and night. And when we get to the next edition, we'll have another one of those for you, too. Looking down through otherness on 640 WBMX Zeeland, Michigan. After operating for just a few months, this station became silent on Labor Day. But now reports are that the station has returned to the air, but only on a limited basis, 1 or 2 days per week and only a few hours each day. And it has not been heard operating on the weekends at all. The broadcast consists of a music tape, which is the same tape played over and over again. It sounds almost like an equipment test rather than a regular broadcast. The telephone at WBMX, by the way, has been disconnected, so we're kind of in the dark as to what is going on there, but I'm sure we'll have more information in the months ahead. 920 KTOC, Jonesboro, Louisiana, a silent station is back on the air. 940, we reported last month that KSWM Republic, Missouri went silent. They were only off for about a week with transmitter problems. They are back on the air. 990 CHTX in Montreal. This station is now here from their former frequency of 980. On 1130, KHTH, Dillon, Colorado, station is silent. On 1280, KWCL, Oak Grove, Louisiana, this station is silent, supposedly to repair equipment, so you may expect this one to return rather soon. On 1360, WVSJ, Vineland, New Jersey, although this station is licensed to be a full-time station, presently they are operating from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., and we'll have more information on them when we get to the next edition. And finally, on 1400, WKDY, Spartanburg, South Carolina, this silent station has been sold and is expected to return to the air soon. Now let's move on to DX switch number 237. A lot of call changes in this edition. On 540 KKJZ, now in Costa Mesa, California, a new city, also a new call, KJQI. 770 WZRZ, North Fort Myers, Florida, becomes WRXK. 890 WGHK, the new station in Fairlawn, Virginia, which, by the way, is not yet on the air, will have the call letter WCQR. On 900, new station in Fort Huron, Alaska, will be KZPA. 910 WPLA, Plant City, Florida, changes to WFNS. 980 KENY, Kenai, Alaska, becomes KZXX. We have two changes on 1060. New station in Holly, Texas, will be KWQA. And KRSP in South Salt Lake, Utah, will change to KKDS. By the way, they're going to call that Kids Radio. Guess what format they're picking up. On 1170, WNBW, Cornwall on Hudson, New York, becomes WARW. Two changes on 1230, KKFN, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, becomes KWSN. KRSS, Spokane, Washington, changes to KSBN. Couple changes on 1270, KWTR, Lakeport, California, changes to WXBX. And WYYN, Tallahassee, Florida, becomes WNLS. On 1330, WFNV, Campbell, Ohio, becomes WYWR. 1350, WONO, Black Mountain, North Carolina, changes to WAVJ. 1360, WRSG, Binghamton, New York, becomes WBNK. On 1400, WKDY, Spartanburg, South Carolina, changes to WLWZ. 1440 KEWI Topeka, Kansas becomes KMAJ. 1460 WRTL Rantoul, Illinois changes to WUFI. 1510 KQXY in Nederland, Texas becomes KDVE. 1530 WDEY Lapeer, Michigan changes to WWGZ. There's a station that's been silent for quite some time. The new call letter most likely means that station can be expected to return to the air. 1560 KMPC. There's a call that's been around for many, many years in Bakersfield, California. They're changing to KNZR to go along with their new news radio format. 1590, the new station in Gorham, Maine, will be WPNN. And on 1600, WTKZ, Rockville, Maryland. We reported on that call letter change last month. That call letter change has been set aside, and the station remains with their former call of WINX. Under applications for new station, there is one that is actually a reapplication with a little different engineering. On 870, new station applied for in Christina, Delaware, which is one of the far suburbs of the Wilmington market. They're applying for 250 watts day, 210 watts at night. Under applications from existing facilities, a highlight on 880, KKMC, Gonzales, California. Last issue, we reported that they are applying for a power increase and also a move to Delray Oaks, California. They have amended that application to delete the move to Delray Oaks, so now it is simply an application for power increase. Highlights from grants to existing facilities. We said a few moments ago we'd be talking about this station again. On 1360 WVSJ, Vineland, New Jersey, they have received a grant to change their city of license to Washington Township, New Jersey. Their day power will also go up to 5,000 watts. Their antenna pattern changes to U4. They're also going to relocate the transmitter in this whole deal. On 1380 KIPO, Pearl City, Hawaii, another regional channel station has been granted an increase in power to 10,000 watts day and night. On 1550 WNJO, Seaside Park, New Jersey, this is a new station not yet on the air. They received a grant to change their city of license to Toms River, New Jersey. Their power levels will change also. They'll be 6,000 day, 3,000 night. The antenna will be U4. Now taking a look at our otherness column on 660 KAPS, Mount Vernon, Washington. This station is now operating here from their former frequency of 1470 kilohertz. Temporarily, they're operating daytime only with 1,000 watts while their new antenna system is being built. This is a new design of antenna called a Paran antenna, and within the next issue or so, we hope to have a sidebar feature on this new antenna. We're waiting for more correspondence to arrive from the engineer at KAPS. On 730 WJTO, Bath, Maine, this silent station has new owners and is expected to return to the air. On 800 WPLK, Palatka, Florida, silent station is back on the air. Also 800 WSMJ, Cave City, Kentucky, this station is now silent. On 980 KCAB, Dardanelle, Arkansas is silent. WFXP in Gulf Breeze, Florida. This silent station has new owners and is expected to return to the air. May even be back on by the time you receive this tape. On 1060 KFIT, Lockhart, Texas, the station is silent. On 1160 WPVG in Funkstown, Maryland, which is a suburb of Hagerstown. Several months ago, this station announced a July target date, and we had assumed they had begun broadcasting, but they still have not. They have not announced a new target date, but they expect to be on what they call soon. On 1170 WKFL, Bushnell, Florida, when we were recently vacationing in Florida, our first day there, we tuned in this station and listened to it, but on subsequent checks during the following week, the station was not heard again. Perhaps it is silent now, and perhaps we caught them on their last day of broadcasting. On 1190 KJLA, Kansas City, Missouri, this silent station also has been sold, and the new owners anticipate putting it back on the air shortly. On 1230 KKUL Hardin, Montana, another silent station back on the air. 1240 KZID McCall, Idaho, this station has new owners and is coming back on the air soon. 1270 WMCL Monticello, Mississippi, a silent station that has returned to the air. 1310 KIQQ, Barstow, California, another silent station that is back broadcasting. 1330 KENU in Umpqua, Washington, this station is silent. By the way, this station held a construction permit to go full-time, but that CP has now been canceled. On 1340 KBRS in Springdale, Arkansas, has gone silent. Sort of an interesting item here on 1370 WKFD in Wickford, Rhode Island, who call themselves, by the way, the smallest station in the smallest state. This station bought a used tower from WICE back in 1961. That tower in the vicinity of Salt Air finally crumbled and tumbled down, and until the new tower was replaced, this station operated using a 120-foot wire antenna supported by a 12-foot helium balloon. On 1400 WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, brand new radio station is on the air. 1410 WGRD, Grand Rapids, Michigan, this station had transmitter troubles and for several months was broadcasting day and night with their low night power of only 48 watts. The repairs have been made. The full power is back on the air now, by the way, at WGRD. 1420 KBIL, San Angelo, Texas, this station is silent. 1470 WOJY, Farrell, Pennsylvania. By the way, the transmitter of this station is the closest transmitter to my listening location, so I can't say that I've shed a tear when I found out that this station has gone silent. 1490 KBSR, Laurel, Montana, they were silent under the call KFBN, but they are now back on the air. 1500 WKAX, Russellville, Alabama. This silent station has new owners and should be returning to the broadcast band. 1520 WDSL, Moxville, North Carolina. Same situation here. New owners. The silent station can be coming back on any day now. 1580 KPCA, Marked Tree, Arkansas. This station is silent. As a matter of fact, mail sent to the station is being returned marked out of business, so this silence may be around for a while. And also on 1580 WTYO in Hamilton, New Jersey, this station is also silent. And that will do it for this month's edition of AM Switch. I'm Jerry Starr, reporting from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. And as I look through the big plate glass window, I see that our next feature editor, Mr. John Bowker, is stepping into the studio with a large stack of cassette tapes, which can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of Travelogue. So, John, close the door, put on the seatbelt, put the key in the ignition, and take us somewhere.
Thanks, Jerry. Hello again, everyone. This is the Travelogue, and this month we're going to be hearing what some of the stations sound like that operate at 680 on the dial. Now, 680 is a particularly interesting frequency in the sequence that we've been following, at least, partly because we have more IDs for 680 stations than for some of those we've visited in the last few months, but also because 680 is available for assignment to either Class 1 or Class 2 radio stations in the United States. 680 is called a Class 1B frequency, whereas 660 and 670, for example, are called Class 1A. Now, the difference is you get a lot more stations operating at 680 than you do on those other two frequencies. But there are some other great similarities, too. For instance, all these channels are clear channel stations, and there is one station operating at 680 that all other stations must protect. And that station? Oh, can you guess what that is from the jingle? Oh, that's the Good Times station, the Good Guys station at 680 in San Francisco. KNBR 68. Yeah. Now, for example, the station in San Antonio that operates with 50,000 watts during the day has to use a directional antenna so it won't cause noise to KNBR listeners. And at night, it has to go down from 50,000 watts to 10,000 watts. Now, that's a drop of 7 dB. That means going from 50,000 to 10,000 watts is about one S unit if you have... Scotty Sterling, he was on KNBR when I was there. Remember Scotty? He became the coach in over in Oakland, the hockey team. Yeah. And we had Ed Bush, the talk show. Ed Bush, I've lost track of him. I think he's in Dallas. At least he was last I heard. But Ed was a good guy, too. Had a big dog. Nice dog. Anyway, these stations have to drop their power. And in addition, the station in San Antonio, by the way, has to tighten up on its directional pattern at night, so it won't interfere with KNBR. I will listen to this one now.
4, 7, 8, 3, 200. The Ed Bush Talk Show on KNBR 68.
And at that point, Ed would come on and give his usual disclaimer that the opinions expressed weren't those of anybody really that accounted. But getting back to the 680 thing, even stations on the East Coast have to respect these various rules. WPTF in Raleigh, now they operate with 50,000 watts both day and night, but when the sun sets, as you probably have noticed, WPTF has to start pumping some of their power into a second antenna tower or more. And so the combined radiated power doesn't cause interference. They steer it away from these other stations like KNBR, for instance. This also means we can have a station at 680 on the dial in Baltimore. And you know, there's even another station in North Carolina, in Silva, located over near Asheville across the hills in the western part of the state. So these 680 frequencies, this frequency is rather interesting. Next month we'll be talking about a Canadian clear channel, and it'll get even more involved, but that'll be for next month, after all. We're going to hear a number of 680 stations in this edition of the Travelogue. But look, first I've got to share with you my experience of October 7th, about a month ago. It was a Sunday, and my good wife Linda and I were out in our motorhome, of course, near York, Pennsylvania, out in the boonies at a remote campsite. And this gave me a chance to tape some of the nearby stations, including the one in Red Lion, Pennsylvania. Now, that probably doesn't mean too much to you, but if anybody following FCC lore over the last few months, or few years, I should say, knows that this Red Lion operation has been a source of great controversy and irritation at the FCC. So there I was, taping them away very merrily. They come in like a ton of bricks in the little town we were in just outside of York. Now, I recorded them for about an hour, but I'm only going to play you the last 30 seconds or so of that hour's tape. You'll see why. You remember last month I played you something from WFAN? Well, this is very different. Here we go again. What you are about to hear was broadcast exactly as you will hear it on Sunday, October 7th, 1990, starting at around 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't think they have a clock there.
My radio dial was set at 1440.
You're tuned to
WGCB and WGCB-FM, Red Lion, Pennsylvania.
Eight, seven, six.
I suppose I should be in touch with some of our language experts to tell me what language that fellow was speaking there at the end of the program, but yeah, you're right. It was backwards. They played the entire tape backwards for at least 30 minutes. And what can I tell you? I should count my blessings. After all, you know the problems of weekend crews. I know because I have been one for so long. But hey, by the way, they did give a station break. What am I griping about? Good grief. Okay, back to 680. As usual, we'll start on the East Coast and work our way south as best we can, and maybe west a little bit too, on the November edition of the DX Audio Service Travelogue.
WRKO Boston.
Wishing Boston a happy 350th birthday. 11 o'clock with Mike Adams in America.
Incidentally, that was recorded many, many, many moons ago. And I don't even have it in front of me exactly, but in the early 70s. But they're still using the same jingle package. And that's remarkable for a station, 50,000-watt station. They also carry the Red Sox. Remember the Red Sox? Let's move to the west.
Music that makes you feel good. AM 680 WINR Binghamton.
The Great Sounds.
Welcome to The Great Sounds. Johnny Dankworth is about to join us. And now we've got some songs about smiling. Here's one that was a hit for Johnny Mathis in 1958.
News station. 680 WISR Butler.
A very pleasant good evening to you. It's just moments now past 5 o'clock, 83 degrees here in Butler. We'll check this afternoon and this evening's weather forecast following this news.
From the Piedmont to Pamlico, you're tuned to a magazine for your ears. We're WPTF Focus. WPTF, stereo AM 680, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill.
WPTF News Time, 5:30. Good afternoon, I'm David Sherrill.
Headline news was brought to you this morning by Sungroves. The Wall Street Journal report is next on Life 680. WLFF, St. Petersburg, Tampa, a service of Century Broadcasting.
Mobile homeowners, where in the world are you?
It's Tom Glavin on the mound with a good outing. We'll also be telling you more about the weather forecast from Pat Pagano, traffic and business. This is WCNN North Atlanta, NBC News, sponsored in part by Trust Company. Does your bank suit you to a T?
This is the NBC Radio Network. Good morning, I'm Gary Nahn.
For the Mid-South, this country is the best.
Hey, listen a while. You keep it on.
WNBS, this is the country. 680 WNBS, country music radio.
More Old Bucks, the flagship station of Plow Broadcasting. This is WMPS in Memphis.
It's 80 degrees. I'm Steve Thomas, WMPS News.
68 Gold, WRVR, Memphis, all oldies, all the time. Only on Memphis Oldies Channel, 68 Gold.
This is the end of another broadcast day on your clean country station, WOGO Halley. WOGO is owned and operated by Stewards of Sound Incorporated. Studios and offices are located at 5558 Halley Road in Halley, Wisconsin, with towers and transmitter located at 3155 South Woodward Avenue in Halley. WOGO is licensed to broadcast at 680 kilohertz AM stereo with daytime power of 2,500 watts. WOGO will begin its broadcast day again at 6 a.m. with more clean country.
That's right. We'll have another report coming up about 12:20 or so here on 68 KFEQ St. Joseph, Missouri. It is 12:01 and time to check our Friday noon markets.
A market report from the St. Joseph Stockyards is brought to you by the St. Joseph.
Well, at this point, we take a 1,500-mile jump to the west. And we're going to pick up again with some of my good friends out in the San Francisco Bay Area.
What you need to get you where you want to go. Have a good time finding out exactly what you need to know.
Good morning. How the heck are you?
I don't know. You have trouble mustering enthusiasm some Monday mornings? I do too.
Now that was recorded in May 1976. Frank was Frank Dill, Mike was Mike Cleary, and they shared the morning chores. Frank Dill came on at 5:30 and Mike at 10. And if we update to 1989, this is the way KNBR sounds.
Serving all of Northern California, this is KNBR, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, Sacramento.
Isn't that a great voice? Oh boy, I tell you, nice voices that KNBR was able to attract.
This is KOMW in OMAC. I'm Todd Nichols, hoping you're having a good Saturday afternoon. I got my day right there. Time is 3 o'clock from Radio 68.
Nuclear. Yeah, that one gave me a little trouble, too. OMAC is in the state of Washington, O-M-A-K, K-O-M-W. Let's come back east. We'll come back the northern route now.
CFTR Toronto with Paul Jans in his latest and Send Me a Miracle.
And that's all we have out of Toronto at this time, CFTR. But just to wrap it up and to let you know that indeed we do update our IDs from time to time, let's just go back into Boston for another few seconds.
WRKO Boston.
A helicopter pilot makes an emergency landing in South Boston. WRKO News at 5 o'clock. The news sponsored by South Boston Savings Bank.
Now, I just wanted to let you know that, see, that was recorded just very recently. And I wanted to let you know, indeed, the jingle does remain the same as it did before. That announcer's voice, though, reminds me of the old CKLW 2020 News. Remember that fellow? He had the most horrible headlines, but that was his voice, very, very threatening. Oh, well. Say, I had some nice chats this past month with a number of people. Ernie Holt and Barry Chenal called. And I do want you to know I've been in touch with both Fred Vobey and Phil Wayne privately for all their thoughtful work in putting on that montage of station breaks last month for me that mentioned my name. Boy, I'm glad they didn't present it to me at the Pittsburgh convention, you guys. I wouldn't have made it through, I don't think. Anyway, thanks again. And now, with great trepidation, it gives me excruciating pleasure to introduce Bill Hale with Domestic DX Digest. And Bill, the reason you have to be introduced is because everyone's tried to forget you after some of those horrible puns you've come up with from time to time. So long, everybody. See you next month. And now, seriously, here's a great guy, Bill Hale.
Thanks, John. Hi, Fred and everyone.
This is Bill Hale reporting domestic DX happenings on the November edition of the National Radio Club's DX audio service. Well, as promised, this month we'll hear those DX catches, which are the most prized of many DXers who took time to send them in for this special column. That comes just a little bit later, as there are just a few items which bear special significance from the past few editions of DDXD, which we'll hit first. Since we're on a weekly schedule now with the printed version of DX News, there'll be more tips and catches to pass along. Well, first of all, WKZN 870 in Gorham, Maine seems to be getting out very well. It's been heard every day by Robert Kramer of Chicago since his first trying in late September. They've got a Music of Your Life format. He heard numerous IDs and ads. Barely audible the first time noted, that then picking up strength daily through the end of September. Robert says this one makes Maine easy in the Midwest and suggests to try for WKZN the last part of October, November, and December. Well, this is already into November, but the last part of this month and next month, and then the first part of January around Gorham's local sunrise. WKZN was also heard by Charles Ray of Leamington, Ontario on September 26th at 06:17 Eastern Time, with the award of a Cole Porter cassette to a Portland man. Charles also comments that this one may be the best bet for Maine at Gorham's local sunrise. Well, Robert Kramer also states that 1200 in Chicago is still WOPA and Radio Exitos. Apparently, they never use the calls WXET. And also, he notes that WJTA 1330 in Evanston is running a night power of 51 watts per their sign-on and sign-off announcements. The NRC lists 500. Well, William Moser of Preston Lake, South Dakota, reports that KWSN 1230 in Sioux Falls was heard with these new call letters on September 28th, and the new format emphasizing weather, sports, and news, thus the WSNN. They also have CBS Network, Rush Limbaugh in the afternoons, and Larry King at night. A couple of other notes, 640 WBMX Zeeland, Michigan is back on the air after a silence with 50% country, 50% urban contemporary format. That's quite an intermix there. This was reported by Phil Borsma of Spring Lake, Michigan. And on 990, CHTX Montreal has been noted with this new frequency with IDs as CHTX Montreal's 990 hits by both Andy Rugg of Nuns Island, Quebec, and Harry J. Hayes of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Well, enough of that. Let's get on with our special feature this month, and that is all-time personal catches on the medium wave band. First, a couple of personal sidelights. Some great memories are included here, as well as a good catch or two. My thanks to all who took time to share their best catches with us. A few rules have been bent in bringing you this report, mostly in the line of time references. Also, I've taken the liberty to paraphrase the original text in some cases. And thanks to Rick Dow for spawning this idea. Maybe we can come up with another special later on. What's on your mind, huh? Most of these are written in the first person, and I'll read them just as they were sent in. And in a couple of cases, please bear with me on the pronunciations of some of these foreign names. Well, right down at the bottom of the dial, 530 CJFT in Fort Erie, Ontario, was the prize catch of Tim Hendel, who lives in Daytona Beach, Florida. It was in the fall of 1980, and it's his prize catch because it's just 250 watt. His radio was an RF-2200. 560 MTCY in Manchukuo, in Hingxing. I guess that's China somewhere. I'm not really sure. And back in February of 1937, the time, 1905 to 1915, Japanese local time, so evidently it's on the island someplace, a 10-kilowatt operation broadcasting news in Japanese relayed from Tokyo. Carol Weirich of Baltimore, Maryland, has a prized QSL signed by a Mr. H. Kato of the MTCY production staff. Well, next up to 610 CHTM in Thompson, Manitoba, was heard 5-9-1984 at 0316. Noted poor but alone with pop music and an ID. After over 20 years of DXing and nearly 3,700 stations logged, it's difficult to single out one as my best logging. However, after much thought, I have selected CHTM as mine. 610 in Chicago was usually dominated by WDAF, WSGN, now WZZK, and WIP to an extent that little else was ever heard. Additionally, the time of year that this was heard and the poor skywave characteristics of 610 made CHTM an unlikely logging. I looked for it a lot during the great 1979-1980 season when conditions favored the north, to no avail. When I noted the weak signal that morning, I had no idea what it was as the frequency was uncharacteristically dead. It seemed as the usual three dominating stations were off, which I later found out was not true. CHTM was just on for a brief period of music, a PSA for a community center in Thompson, and an ID. At 55 degrees, 48 minutes north latitude, it was my second furthest north BCB logging, with only KQFD 750 topping it. But CHTM is by far my most north station on a regional channel and with only 1,000 watts. With the frequency characteristics, the distance of 1,100 miles, the location which is closer to the Northwest Territories than to Winnipeg, the rarity of loggings this far to the north due to auroral displays, and the fact this station isn't even easy in Winnipeg, I have made CHTM my best catch. That's sent in by Robert Kramer of Chicago. Well, 655 YSSS from San Salvador is the best catch by Jeff Lewis of Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. I guess he logged them in both places. Logged winter weekend nights late in 85 from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with both the select antenna and shotgun antennas, as well as the shotgun only, and of course this spring in Kansas City, with both antennas connected in parallel, the signal weak to very weak, but nonetheless a good catch. B.B. McClurkin of Denton, Texas, DXing with a 16-tube Midwest radio and a 150-foot long wire, 35 feet high, running west-northwest by east-south-east, bagged VK2NR on 700, and that's located in Grafton, Australia. At least it was back on October 31st, 1937. BB logged this station from 2000 to 2030 hours Eastern time, or EST, which is an Australian time, or 0400 to 0430 his Central time. I consider it to be my best catch because of the distance, 8,970 miles, and their power, 7 kilowatts at the time. WLW went off at midnight back then. Thanks to BB for sending that in. Well, on 735, 8CGB1 from Quito, Ecuador, logged on 12-13-79 at 2107, an approximate 3,000-mile catch. That's sent in by Paul Swearingen, who then lived in Moran, Kansas.
Bill, I'll tell you what, let's pick you up on part two of the DX Audio Service, as we're just going to conclude part one of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for November 1990. And then on part two, we'll hear more from you, as well as from Phil Wayne, John Bowker, Laura McCusker, and of course, Ken Honestchuk with a little look at sports, and a whole lot more. So we'll see you on part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for November 1990.